inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
Great to see you, everybody. You ready? Come on, everybody stand up. Lift your hands. Say, God, you're going to speak to me today. I open my heart. I prepare my heart. I'm ready. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. That's our title today, Prophetic, Living in the New Day. And so prophetic meaning that I feel like I want to speak prophetically into our culture and our church. So it's not really pastoral today. But I want to introduce that, and I have no verses for you on the so have your Bibles. You got your Bibles? And I've got a paper one here, but you can't borrow mine because that's mine. If you're using an electronic one, if you're taking notes, it's a good idea. And it's a good idea because it's not just the information that we want to talk about in this next kind of half hour we have together, but it's what the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you whilst I am speaking to you. That's really more important. And I don't know if you've ever had that experience. I would hope that you have. But certainly if somebody is preaching and the presence of God is there and they're anointed or they're teaching or whatever, and I find sometimes I'm writing a wild number of things that are actually not what the person, they've said something that's triggered something, and then I go on and write from that. So I want to encourage you. That's why I wanted you to stand up today and talk about and to declare that God will speak to you today. There is nothing more important in the world than hearing God speak. Somebody say yes. Yes. I mean, there really is. And if I were to speak to a lot of Christian people today, and maybe some of us, and certainly lots of other people in other situations, and I said to you, what do you feel like God clearly said to you recently? A lot of people will struggle a little bit with that. A lot of people might be a bit hazy. A lot of people might have some kind of inkling, but most Christians that I know wouldn't be able to say, you know what, God has been speaking to me about this thing. And we need to change that. We need to hear what God is saying, because if we're going to become the people God wants us to become, and I mean you individually, but I also mean us as a people, and your calling and your destiny and everything God's got for your life. It's never going to happen unless we hear God speak to our hearts. Somebody say yes. Good. So you've got to hear from God. And you know, I want to address that a little bit, because sometimes, you know, in my experience, sometimes people are a little weird when it comes to like hearing from God. You ever notice that? Like sometimes people, they're like God is speaking to them every 5 minutes. And I can tell you 999 times out of 1,000, that's not God speaking to them. But bless their hearts, God still loves them. But it just doesn't happen like that. And then some people kind of go very strange. You know, they might start to dance. They might start to go into some kind of drifty. And I don't mind if you do that. But you don't have to do that to hear from God. I hear from God in the shower pretty good. I just find certain places I hear. And so God speaks. It's kind of like a sense on the inside. It's very rarely ticker tape, you know, this, you are going to marry Caroline. No, 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 no. It's very rarely that. It's mostly that you've got to tune your heart and tune your spirit a little bit to kind of perceive. So in this instance where I married Caroline, I remember that very well, and I thought this is the girl for me, I thought, after about 10 minutes or so. Not too long anyway. But you see, you've got to have a sense that God is in it. And, you know, I am by nature a fairly go-y kind of a person. I suppose I could be impetuous slightly, you know, on a bad day, slightly. But there are some things in my life right now that have been on hold, like you're circling, you know, when you come into the airport and you're on a holding pattern, and they've been on a holding pattern for years. And I do not like that one bit. And every day of my life, in some areas of my life, I'm thinking, gee, I'd like that to change. But I'm not going to shift unless I know from God. And sometimes I'll say, oh, I've had enough of this, I'm just going to. But I just know that I can't. I could. Lots of people do. But I want to stay tied. So you're looking for a green light. You're looking for a yes on the inside. You're looking for something resonating with your spirit. Most of the time, that's how God speaks to you. And then the other thing you're looking for is like a what people call a check in your spirit. Whoa. So I get that, for instance, if I let myself get frustrated. I used to be, you know, frustration is like a gift. It's not all bad, folks. How many people ever get frustrated? A frustrated person means you've got passion to change something. And people that never get frustrated never will make much difference in the world. I'm not putting you down, I'm just saying. But frustrated people that can be frustrated can also be difficult to live with. So they've got to learn, like I've had to learn, you know, how to manage that. They call it anger management, maybe in the movies or whatever, or but really what you're doing is training your spirit to come under your own rule, to not be moved by your senses. Now, this is something Paul talks about a lot in the Bible. He talks about, one version calls it sense-ruled Christians, which is immature. Immature Christians. And a lot of Paul's writing, we don't talk about it a lot, but a lot of times his push, his drive, his passion is to see the church mature. So he writes to this Corinthian mob and he says, look, you guys say he's my favorite. I like Paul. I like Apollos. And we see a fair bit of that in the church today, ladies and gentlemen, don't we? Oh, I like this person. Oh, I like that person. I know you all like me, but I mean outside of this. And all, you know, and I've been in churches. And he says, when you do that, aren't you just being, one version says, carnal? And of course, carnivorous, fleshly. It means that you're ruled by your natural person. You still haven't learnt for your natural person to be dominated by your spiritual person, which is the new you. And a lot of Christians do that. So when you fly off the handle, that's all you're doing. You're just, your natural person is ruling. And when you collapse in a heap, oh, that's it, I've had it. Oh, come, no, I'm not talking. It's not too hot. I get it, you know, I felt like that. I get the opportunity to feel like that most days of the week. But maturing is learning to keep that under. Paul writes about his flesh. Keep it under. So where your spirit man, this is why worship is so important. Because we're sitting here, you know, you're all listening, you all look good, you know, you were singing, it was great and it was glorious, but I'm conscious that I've got a couple of hours with you at the most, and I would like to meet with you every day. I really would. I would to God that day comes. I'm still in a holding pattern on that one because you can't push it before it's time. But I would love to do that. I'd be there every night of the week. I'd preach, worship, teach you, love you. It'll come. But right now people are, you know, too preoccupied watching the news. And, you know, to come to the house of God every night, you know, I mean, you'd miss Neighbours, wouldn't you? And things like that. Do they still watch that? People always say that to me. Oh, Neighbours, oh, you're Australian. I don't think I've ever seen an episode. I think Kylie was in it once. And weren't they? Was that one? I don't know. But, you know, I'd love to do that. I'd love to. But in this little time, see, here's what we've got to realise. You're going to leave here. By this afternoon, some temptation will come. Some old natural desire to lose your temper or to collapse or to get upset or to be angry with yourself or angry with somebody else or whatever, some emotional thing will happen. And that's all right. Everyone say it's all right.
It's all right.
It's part of life. But what makes a Christian a grand person, that the whole world can look at and think, oh, I want to be like them, is that we go through the same temptations, pressures, stresses that everybody else goes through, sometimes more. Generally, if you really want to go somewhere with God like Abraham did or Moses did, you might cop a little bit more than the average. Paul the Apostle did. But the grand thing is that you have learnt some of maturity. You've learnt that those pressures don't have to rule over you. And one of the keys to that, kind of coming back to what I'm saying before, is the ability to hear from God. I could prattle on and read you Bible verses and this, that, and the other, but I'm very conscious after these many years of doing this that I don't have time for that, and you don't have time for that. I can probably quote Bible verses better than most people, but you know, the devil can quote Bible verses. What I want to do is receive something from heaven and deliver something to you that is tangible, that you feel, that helps you hear from God and move forward into the next phase that God has for your life, because he's got tremendous things for your life. And so I want to talk about this new day, because I feel like we're in a new day as a church. I was very excited last week. It was fun. We had a few visitors, and then we had a few local visitors from elsewhere, and the buzz was great. And I was loving it this morning when we're worshiping the presence. Wasn't the presence of God beautiful? Isn't it? There's something happening. I mean, I've been in lots of churches. You know, I was blessed when Desmond came and visited us. It's a few months ago. We'll see him again sometime soon. He's a lovely man. Good man. You know, and he said, in all the different, he goes to Africa and preaches. I mean, he's probably my age or thereabouts. And so he's been in the ministry for a while, traveled a bit. He said, you know, this is the only other church I've come to where the presence of God is thick like it is, and I feel like I was totally at home. And that blesses me, because that's a person that's not just, he's not trying to impress us with his clever words. He's not trying to introduce, you know, a new song to show how proficient he is at worship or music. He's interested in God's presence. And I love that. I had a phone call this week with Francis. You're going to meet Francis at the end of August. So book it in. We've got some exciting things coming up, haven't we? There's barbecue. When's that? Middle of June, a few weeks away. So what we want you to do is we're going to have a great church service. We might finish a little bit early. Our goal right now is start at 10:30, finish at 12. Try and keep reasonably to that so that people can hang out and have coffee together. But on that day, maybe we'll finish at 11:45. I don't know. But we're going to put barbecues out the front here, and we're going to cook meat for all the vegans, you know, and chicken, sausages, but we'll have some vegan food as well. My wife will make sure of that. My wife and Chrissy, there'll be what do you do, darling? Those vegetable skewers. You ever had them barbecued? Oh, they're good. And you've got to put halloumi is good, and you've got to put onion out there, because that smells great. And we're going to do that and just smell the whole street out. So we just smell it. And then we'll have a big sign saying free barbecue. And we'll just do that for a couple of hours. And then we're going to print some little bill poster things, and maybe 1,000, and get you to help us. And we'll deliver them all in the local street, in the local area. And then we'll put it on Facebook. And who knows, we might have 10 visitors. We might have 110 visitors. But we'll have some. And you'll have a nice lunch. But the object is to connect with the community. So that's exciting. That's coming up. And then we've got our, don't forget to be part of our market. It's free hugs. That's easy. Martin Witten, come up here and give us a demo. Now, this man is not what you'd call the world's most hugging man. But something happened. So I'd like for Maisel to come out. And Martin, yeah, I'm ready. Martin to give a demonstration on the free hug to Maisel. Yeah, can you do it? Can he do it? Ah, yeah. And I'm just thrilled at what God is doing, and that's going to be a great opportunity. And I'll talk a little bit about that in our, you know, things that God is doing this new season we're in. And then we've got Stains Upon Thames Day, which we've done since the beginning. I think this might be the fifth year. So we're the only church that have been there since the beginning, but we kind of kicked off, and now we've got other churches and stuff involved, which is great, which is awesome. And we'll have a big tent. Caroline does a great job organising all that. But that day kind of starts at about 11:30 or 12. So what we'll do is come in here and we'll just probably full on worship, and I'll probably prophesy over all of you. And then we'll give you a drink and an apple or banana, or, you know, for Val we'll have some chocolate. And we'll all go out to the market together for about 11:30, quarter to 12. And we'll hang out. I think it'll run till about 4 or 5, and you can stay all day or you can stay for some of the time or whatever. But we're going to do more or less what we do on every month. But this will be the whole day ceremony. There'll be people everywhere that have never seen us, and we'll do free hugs, give away free balloons. We'll be the most exciting, happiest people in the world right there. So that'll be fun. Good things are coming up. Yeah? And so I'm excited about all that, but I wanted to talk about this. I'm coming around to it, you know. And living in this new day. See, what we need to understand is that in the book of Isaiah, God says, I'm doing a new thing. Can't you see it? And God, in many respects, is always doing a new thing. He's consistent. He's always loving beyond what we understand. He's always true. He's always wise. But he does new things. And he likes to do things that look impossible. He likes to visit a tiny little, what was really the armpit of the Middle East, Bethlehem. Just a nothing place that no one would want to go to. And there, Bethlehem? Nazareth, I'm trying to think. One or the other. But one of them was reputed to be where Jesus came from. He was born, of course, in Bethlehem, but then they called him Jesus of Nazareth, so I forget which one it is. But it's just typical of God to take something that no one would expect and to turn everything around. And he loves to do that. So when he talks about doing a new thing, I'm going to make a river in the desert. Everything looks dry. Everything looks difficult. Everything looks like there's nothing. And I'm just going to do something. And people are going to see a river where there was. That's just the way God likes to do things. And I feel like we're in that kind of flow. You know, I feel like when I come and I meet these people and I hear them pray and we worship together, and if I'm not preaching, other people are preaching, I think, man, there is something of God on our people. And I believe that God is calling us prophetically to be a front runner, a way maker, a cutting edge in kind of redesigning almost, of reinterpreting what the church can look like, should look like. I've studied what God has done over the centuries for decades. I love all that. I could tell you endless stories about ministers and men and women of God and things that God has done. I quite often do tell those stories. I love those stories. But I'm conscious of this, that we are in an age now where God is moving, and I'm watching all around the world saying, What's on the cutting edge? And when I pray and when I prepare and when I think about our church and our people and our town, I'm not so much fussed about trying to find a Bible verse, because I've done that for a while and I'm kind of feel reasonably like I would feed on the Word of God rather than read it to try and get a message, if you know what I'm saying. If you want to be a preacher, that's the better way to do it. You want to spend more time in prayer. You don't really, most messages that where people have just studied in their head a lot come across a little bit dry. You need a combination of both those things, because you need people to know that God is speaking to them. That's what's important. But in any case, you know, we are in a place now where God is preparing us for something, where there's a change, a significant change. One of the people whose voice I find helpful, interesting, I think is anointed, is Chris Vallotton, who is one of the leaders there at Bethel Church over in Reading. There's another interesting thing. Reading is a town of less than 100,000 people. Been there a couple of times. Just not really anywhere you'd want to live. You know, I mean, I like America. stinking hot in summer, like 40, and rains all winter. And the plane, if you want to go anywhere, like to San Francisco, you have to get on one of those little putter things. And it's just not, I mean, you thought if God would want to put something on the map, you know, he'd do it in New York or, you know, whatever. But he chooses places like Reading and Staines and Mozambique, China. Nobody knows, nobody sees. He's just like that. And I like that side of God. And so we're in this place, but I want us to know, to just catch a couple of keys that are very important in this new season, in living in this new day. I've taken a little bit of time just to prepare our hearts, because we want to run with what God is doing. You've got to be a bit cognizant of what God is doing. One of the biggest problems, one of the biggest accusations, I think, brought against the church generally, the churches, the Christian people generally, would be that they're outdated. That the way they dress, the way they talk, the music they mostly play, the way their buildings are mostly presented, all looks like it was 30 years ago or more. I mean, some ministers still wear Roman togas. Why would you do that? A Roman toga, you know, like it looks like a dress. And I'm not opposed. There's some very nice people that wear that gear, I'm sure. My point is, we're living in this world, we're trying to reach this world, and without criticizing any person in particular, all I'm saying is that I'm not surprised when the world out there, the Staines people out there, the Egham Hive people out there, look at the church in general, they're looking for a stained glass building, you know, a cross, somebody wearing some old-fashioned gear, and probably some kind of sale of some old second-hand gear that nobody wants, to try and muster up small amounts of money to replace the tiles off the roof. And that's what people think. That is not a good reflection of God. I don't mean to be mean to people. If you know my heart, that's not where I am. But I'm most concerned that if we don't represent God well, then people are going to think that God is outdated and outmoded and hasn't got anything to do to say to people. And I can't blame them. So we have to make some changes. I remember a joke a friend told me. How many Christians does it take to change a light bulb? Change? Kind of true, isn't it? And so we have to be. Now, you've got to remember this. Jesus spoke to the people that were following him on one occasion. And he said this. He said, you guys look at the sun. You can see the shadow, the sunset in the evening. You know what kind of weather it's going to be tomorrow. But you can't discern the times at all, spiritually speaking. In the Old Testament, you had a people called Israel with 12 different tribes from these 12 different sons of Jacob. And one of them was the tribe of Dan. And they were all gifted in different ways. And Dan's people were people that could ascertain the times. They had a gift or an ability to see what God is doing. See, that's very, very important. That's why I wanted to speak prophetically to you today, because we have to be able to interpret what God is doing. There is something, if I were to turn up next week in let's say, old-fashioned clergy gear, there'd be a number of people that might quite like that. Maybe not amongst these lot. But we're not here to make you happy or me happy. We're here to represent God well, and to do that, we've got to hear what heaven is saying and doing. So, having introduced those ideas, are you ready? There's just a couple of things I want to tell you. Number one, community engagement. One of the things that we're seeing, it's happening in our church, but it's happening in other churches, is active involvement in the community. So I've been in leadership in church, I think, since 84 or something like that. And I can tell you, in those days, things were different. We were doing what God was doing at the time, I guess. But the idea of community engagement was very, very low on the radar. But God has brought that. So what does that mean? That means like what Martin Witten just demonstrated to us. It means finding ways to touch people in the world that they're in. It means that the church is not just about what happens within four walls, even though what happens within four walls is very important. But it means that from this afternoon through to next Sunday, and we'll gather in the week, but basically 6 days of the week, we're out there face to face with people that need the love of God and the power of God, and we have to learn how to touch those people. That'll stretch us, won't it? And so it should. If you're not being stretched in your Christian life, I would wonder whether you have much of a Christian life. Because God will stretch you. Because he loves you so much that he doesn't want to leave you the way you are. And I bet if I asked you what your dreams were, no one here has achieved them all yet, have they? Anybody? And has anyone got dreams and aspirations of things they'd like to see in their life that they haven't got there yet? See, well, the vehicle that will take you to that place is you. And if you don't change, you're going to keep getting the same of what you've already got. And sometimes Christians suffer from the strangest kind of mental illness where they think they can keep doing the same thing week after week and then month after month. And all of a sudden, one day, it's all going to change. No, it isn't. You have to change what you do. You have to think a new way. So community engagement is one thing. So I want to encourage you to be involved in that. I want you to recognize that that is not just the flavor of the month, that is not just because, you know, Candy Assel has a fantastic voice and used to work on the fruit markets, and now she's working on the Free Hugs Jesus markets. But to be involved, to realize that that's as much church in a different way as what happens here. Second thing that's extremely important is the power and the presence of God. There's just an outpouring. Now, that's always been seen in history. We've got, I could tell you, countless examples of remarkable and wonderful things that God has done. But right now, the ability to engage people and see healing come to people's lives is very high. And so that's why we do what we do on Thursdays. We're trying to flow with what God is saying. So, and you'll notice we shift and we adjust a little bit. I hope that's all right with you. I think on our notices, I don't know if you saw there, we said Alpha. We'll start an Alpha thing soon. That'll be a good idea. Lots of people in the community. If all of you, everybody here wants to run an Alpha group, it's all right with me. We'll train you and away you go. I mean, don't hold back. One night a week, 6 weeks in a row. But we'll certainly start off with something. You know what Alpha is, don't you? It's like this, yeah. Introducing people to the basics of Christianity. And they've revamped it and they've changed it. And so I know Carrie's excited about that. I know Lou's excited about that. Let's see where that goes. And we've done this kind of, we've tried to kick off a kind of a hospitality thing once a month, but we'll just see how that goes. We had such a good time on Thursday night where we really had a healing night, didn't we? And we want to keep seeing something break through there. And we had a great breakthrough with Charlotte. But on the other hand, we feel like, and it wasn't amazing. I wrote on the chart, I felt like I'm praying. I felt like God's speaking to me. We give a lot because mostly it's our team there, but we would like all of you there. And it's not that far from Sutton, you know, Thursday night, a little bit of a trip. We'd encourage you anyway. I appreciate it. You know, we'll just have to start something in Sutton on a Thursday night. That could be done. The Free Hug Club. That could start. But the point is, you know, we had such a... I wrote there, I thought... It just came to me. I thought we're busy and we give a lot, and if we're not careful, we'll end up wearing out, or we'll be in a position where we're on the streets and we don't have much to give. So we need a recharge. And I wrote that word down: recharge. And then Candy says to me, she's done this completely separately from me. She says, look at this. And she's written it down. She's got a picture of this ball of electricity going to all these people, recharging all these people. And so that's good. That's a kind of good confirmation that God's... You know, I felt good then. I was a bit concerned first, but Candy affirmed I was hearing from God. It's good. So that's what we're going to do. That's another thing. But to get engaged with the power of God, to be in God's presence. Now that's been... We're tending to call it the presence more. The anointing is the same thing. The grace of God. It's the same thing. It's being cognizant of the tangible presence of God. It's walking into your home, walking into a cafe, walking into your place of work, walking into the bus, and knowing God is with me. And there could be someone here, I'm just going to love them, or I'm just going to pray with them, or I'm going to minister healing to them. And this, the importance of the power and the presence of God is very high right now. Are you with me? And then the last thing I want to say, and I think this is an important one, and then we'll close for today, but this is very important to catch in this season as we, let's go back to the practical. We don't want that. We want the other page there. So your daughter knew that. She knew not to move it. Yeah, but it's all right. No, we don't want that either. No. There you go. That's the one we want. Living in this new day. Here's something that's really important in living in a new day. And that is to maintain a very positive spirit, a very positive perspective on life. That's crucially important. In fact, when I was preparing this message, this is probably the thing that's been bouncing around in my heart the most. Because the people of God, generally speaking, are not well known for being super positive. Which is kind of weird, since God is with them. You'd kind of think, wouldn't you, Amy? You'd kind of think if you really believed the God who made all this was with you, you kind of believe it's a good excuse to be positive. But it's really, really important. Now, you need to be very deliberate about being positive. Being positive is hard work, especially if you grew up a bit negative. Now, I grew up a bit negative. And you probably don't think that because God had to work on me for like 20 years before he sent me over to England. Because England as a nation has a leaning towards being negative. And we've got to, as a people, be sensitive to that, but not ever allow that to be an excuse to not live in the full confidence of God. And that's very important. So here's it, just so you know, there's a Bible verse here, says this. It says in Romans 15, verse 13, it says, the God of hope. That's who he is. May the God of hope. What is hope? Hope is a positive expectation of future good. Most Christians think that's what faith is, and that's where things come unstuck for them. That's not what faith is. Most people, we use terminology like this. You're going for a new job. Did you get it? Well, I hope so. What are they really saying? Well, probably not, but it would be nice if it happened, is what they're really saying. But we pass that off as hope. That's not hope at all. That's hopeless. That's feeble. Don't think like that. And listen, you know, I correct myself as much as I'm encouraging you to correct yourself. Because I've got a natural person just like you have. And that natural person can, you know, have a bad day and have six or seven or eight things all stacked up against them. And at the eighth time, there's that little voice that comes to your head and says, if one more thing goes wrong, you know, and then I've got to correct that and say, Paul, listen to me. It doesn't matter if 10 more things go wrong. You are going to stay on top of this. But you've got to speak to yourself like that. You've got to be deliberate about being positive. That's very important. He's the God of hope. That's what God is like. I mean, look at you. Whatever you were like in the last 50 years, he looked at you and he thought, there's something great going to come out of that person. Talk about hope. Talk about positive expectation. Jesus, much the same. If you can believe, Anything's possible. That should be scrawled up on the inside of your bedroom on the roof. Anything's possible. What have you been thinking that's not possible? Get that out of your head. Of course it's possible. Doesn't mean everything's going to happen. What it means is every day, everything you approach, anything could happen here. Man, I'm feeling good already. And then there's Romans chapter 8, and we could go on and on and on. But it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And we know those verses. The trouble is we haven't mostly converted those verses into a deliberate decision that that's how we're going to live. And you've got to meditate on it. And listen to me, it's crucial for what God is going to do, living in the new day. I see this engagement with the community. I see this power and presence. I see an increase in worship and getting in the presence of God. But I'm telling you, if you study history, God has always done stuff, and there's always been those that run with God, what God has done, and there's always been those that do not run with God has done, and oftentimes they end up criticizing the thing God is doing. And the problem there is negativity, fear. What if it doesn't happen? Well, what if it does? And you've just got to slap yourself a little bit. Because I get like that. Well, what if this doesn't happen? Oh, what if that? Well, what if it does? Wouldn't that be good? Yeah, but you know, it probably won't. Yeah, but no, hang on a minute. What if it does? No, but what if it really does happen? What if the Bible were true? And I start to play with them. What if the Bible were true, Paul? And God really were with you? What about that then? You see, because those old thoughts... Now listen, Romans 12:2, you probably know it all. It says you're transformed. You are changed by the renewing of your mind, or the renovation. It's a term that's used in upholstery. Renovating your mind. Changing the way you think. You'll find tendencies, because of the world that we live in, to be negative. I just avoid them. I try not to be rude to people. But if people are going on negatively, I'm not going to stay. I don't have time. I'm too important. And so are you. And people need the positive life of God in you. And if you hang around people that are complaining about how it didn't happen, and I understand, complaining about how sad their life is, I understand. I do funerals every week, folks. I understand sad life. I have compassion. I did a funeral the last 2 weeks. Well, I did a funeral this week for a guy who was 51, who passed away 18 months after his wife passed away from cancer, who was so upset, depressed, negative, probably drank too much, but basically as a result of his wife's passing. So I'm doing a funeral service, and there's two children, 21 and 25, lost both parents in less than 2 years. And she sung something, and he said a few words and cried, and his brother said a few words. I understand what it is to hurt. You know, I'm there with those people. But I'm just telling you, you know, stuff will happen. That's a sad story. And I can't walk into that world and just say, oh, be positive. But if they were in my church, or if they knew the Lord, I'd find a way of helping them, because at the end of the day, your future will be made by you. And it doesn't matter what comes against you. Stuff does come against you. Of course it does. But you're built for it. You're bigger than this. God is in you. And you have to make, you've got to be very deliberate. Just be on your own case. Get positive. I'm expecting that shoulder to be completely healed. Every time I pray for a lady, I'm expecting it to be completely healed. And it won't surprise me at all. And that's just hope. If I drive up, I'm expecting to find a car park. Now, I never used to be like that. I'm thinking, no, probably there's none left. You know what I mean? I just don't. I just expect there'll be one. And if there isn't one, then I think, well, there'll probably be one very close. Or then I turn around and I think, well, probably someone will leave by the time. And then if I still don't get one and I have to walk a little way, then I think, oh, it was good for me to walk. I'm just not going to be negative about it. Somebody say amen. Are you ready? Are you ready for God to move? Come on, let's pray a prayer. Sam, could you jump on the guitar? We're out of time here today. We've done pretty good though. Thank you for the extra 5 minutes that you've given me this morning. We're going to have coffee. We're going to have tea. We're going to fellowship. But most of all, in the next minute or so, I want you to close your eyes and look away to God and expect the Holy Spirit to come very close to you and to help you to walk into this great new day. There's a new day. I can tell you prophetically, there is a new day over your life. It's not just the church. It's not just free hugs and, you know, having Eastgate here, which was great. It's not just a new building. Those things are a result of a divinely ordained new day. As some of you are sitting here and saying, well, that makes sense now, doesn't it? Given all the circumstances. So it's time for you, for all of us in our heart to say, thank you, Lord, for the new day. I am going to shine in this new day. I am one that you are going to find ready, willing, and able. I'm going to find a way. I'm going to beat the darkness. I'm always going to expect you to be there. And when I make a mistake, which I'll probably make, I'll forgive myself and move on. Holy Spirit, come. Breathe on every person here. Thank you. They're beautiful, but they're beautiful people. And I don't know all their pains and all their struggles, but I know that you chose them, that you put them here for a reason. And that today that you've spoken to us, even whilst I'm speaking, and I'm so thankful for that. Some of you might have one thought, just one thought or one or two thoughts. Sometimes it's good to write those down and say, that's the thing I need to nail. Because it's a process. Renewing your mind is a process. Demons come out, things change, healings can be instant, but much of the change in life is a process called renewing your mind, just changing the way you think. Just saying, out with the old, in with the new, here we go. This is a great day. Father, bless your people today and thank you for this very beautiful time we've had in your presence. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.